You mark your books at hymn number 922, and that'll be the hymn following our lesson this morning. Bid you welcome first and express appreciation for your being here. It's just good to get together. So I want to offer my thanks for your desire to assemble with one another and giving our worship and praise to God. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along. So, just one verse I'm using for the title of the lesson this morning, where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel," and that was in the text that was read to us, those closing verses, and the gospel was defined in those opening verses of the text. But Paul said, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me." Necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Let me, in your notes, I've given you kind of a text analysis or a word analysis of the text. Paul said, "I," and don't just think of, oh, this is just Paul talking about himself. I want us to make an application and for us to think like Paul does. I want us to see like Paul sees and to work like Paul works. But Paul says, "I," so I want you to make it personal. Take it to heart. It's me. It's myself. Kind of hold your hand up. This individual. Focus on self. Don't just look at that verse in abstract. "Oh, there's Paul over there. That's a good thought, Paul. Thanks for sharing." Huh? Let's take it to heart. I preach. Means proclaim. If you're going to preach, you're going to say it out loud. Or you can think of preaching as a public discourse. Or stand and deliver. We're going to note in just a few moments, you preach by example too, because someone's going to say, "Oh, but I'm not a preacher." I'm going to say, "Yes, you are. You just may not know it yet." But preach. And then the gospel in our text that was read to us. Gospel meaning good news. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel," "which I preach to you, which you also," note the words I put in your notes, "received, in which you stand, by which you're saved." The gospel has some significance, doesn't it? Why is it a good news message? Because Paul, you preached it, but he says, "Oh, but the brethren received it." And that gospel is upon which you stand. That's the solid foundation, that good news gospel message. And that gospel message is one by which we're saved. He says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received." Paul, you didn't make this up. You didn't get it from a committee. Nope. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day. And he says it again, according to the scriptures. Paul said in Titus 2, verse 11, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Oh, a gracious, good news, gospel message of salvation. Right. That's good news. Especially to someone who thinks they are beyond salvation. You don't even know anyone like that. I've heard someone say, "Brian, my sins are too many. My sins are too horrible. My sins have been committed over too long a time. You really think I can be forgiven?" The answer is yes. I have good news for you. I have good news. So Paul says, "I'm going to preach the gospel." He says, "Because it's a necessity." Oh, it's essential. It's momentous. And Paul says, for me, I'm not going to leave it out, that preaching of the gospel. There's an obligation, Paul says, that I have. Paul says, preaching that good news gospel message is indispensable. It's required. It's important to the essence of something. Preach that gospel. Paul says, I need to do that. It's laid hold on me. Interesting phrase, isn't it? In other words, Paul was saying, and I'm putting you out, the ball's in my court. It's my turn. I need to preach the gospel. I can't escape it. It's laid, this is necessary, and it's laid hold on me. There's a response required of me, especially since I've obeyed the gospel. I want to share it. I can't keep it quiet. He says, I'm personally accountable. And then so Paul, he says, but woe is me if I don't do it. Woe is me. The sorrowful condition. And woe is me. I'd be in misery if I don't preach the gospel. I hope, and I'd like to instill that within you, that you feel bad or you're in misery. You have an opportunity and don't take advantage of it. Paul said, woe is me if I don't do it. It's necessary. It's laid hold on me. I've taken it to heart. It's a message that has to be presented. Woe is me. I'm in agony if I don't do this. I'm in anguish. I'm in grief. I'm unhappy. I'm in distress if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me if... And again, I wish I could instill that attitude in the hearts of brethren. Ah, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, a similar attitude. Paul considered himself a debtor. I owe it to others to share what God's grace has given me. I owe it to others. It's necessary. It's laid on me. I'm a debtor, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, as much as is in me. Got to do it. So woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. If it's not proclaimed publicly, it's proclaimed by example. So again, here's the point, or one point. Because if you say, well, there goes, Paul's an apostle. He's been called. He's missionary minded. He's a public proclaimer of the gospel. Well, I can't do that. Oh, but you're going to do it by example, whether you want to or not. Do you know, you preached the gospel this morning when you partook of the Lord's Supper. When Frederick introduced this, the Lord's Supper, he mentioned, yeah, we're going to take the bread. Represents a symbolic of Christ's body that was sacrificed. Oh, we're going to partake of the fruit of the vine. That's right. It takes us back to the shed blood that Jesus gave on the cross. Oh, that's right. But then when Paul gives the instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, he says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you, brethren, proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Did you know you just preached a sermon this morning? You proclaimed, not audibly, but visually to one another. You've proclaimed to those who were around you, behind you, in front of you. You proclaimed the Lord's death till he come. Right? Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he mentioned to the disciples in Matthew 5, verse 13, you know, you're the salt of the earth. You're going to preach a message. Oh, but if, he gives the warning, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? How shall our world be seasoned if your saltiness is lost? It's good for nothing if that happens. Like Paul said, oh, this is necessary. It's laid on me. You're the light of the world. You're a city that's set on a hill that cannot, Jesus said, that cannot be hid. Why? See, you proclaim a lesson, don't you? You proclaim the gospel by the life that you live. Let your light so shine before men. And that phrase we use every so often where someone says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I don't amen. So you're preaching a gospel. You're preaching a message, whether you want to or not. No, you may not, like I say, you may not stand up here like this and publicly give a discourse, but you're going to proclaim the gospel. You're doing it. Not just on Sunday morning when we assemble together to partake of the Lord's Supper. You're the salt of the earth outside the assembly. You're the light of the world outside the assembly. And so I made a note in your notes. God's placed his word into the hands of his people. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times or various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Oh, someone has to preach it, don't they? But in these last days, spoken to us by his son. Yeah, sure has. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he said, then I said, I'm going to say to myself, I'm not going to make mention of him. These are words of Jeremiah. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. His word was shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Well, that's what Paul is saying. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I don't preach. And you're preaching. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go. Go. You want them, my disciples. I want this laid on your heart. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. There'll be a time for us to teach and preach. Share the message, but you're also doing it by the way that you live. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can they believe in him whom they not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? We have to deliver that message, don't we? You say, but I'm not a public proclaimer. Preach it by the way you live. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit that to faithful men. But Paul says, yes, what I taught you, I want you to teach others. The word has to get out. The word has to be proclaimed. The message has to be delivered. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul considered himself an ambassador. He says, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, Paul said, as though God pleads through us. God, how are you going to get your message out? Oh, I have to share it, don't I? I have to deliver the message. Right? Paul said, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Paul, what's your attitude toward the gospel? Oh, it's necessary. It's laid on me. And woe is me if I don't preach it. If I don't get it out. And don't forget, you're preaching it. You're preaching it. Ezekiel chapter 3, and it gets to the bottom of the point. Ezekiel 3, verse 16. God speaks through the prophets. Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, son of man, we can raise our hand too. I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, God says to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I want you to tell others what I'm telling you. Give them warning from me. Well, somebody has to give the warning from God. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, and you don't speak to warn the wicked of his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. Uh-oh. But yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not return from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, oh, he'll die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. All necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. So there's, I put in your notes, there's six characteristics of a watchman that are revealed in the Bible. Of a watchman. And that's you and that's me. Number one, a watchman relays a message to others. What a watchman does. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 24. David was sitting between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gates, to the wall. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, watchman, what's your job? What's our job, our task? We just relay a message. Not something we made up from ourselves. Wasn't my idea. A messenger. I've made you a watchman. A watchman relays a message to others. And that's what we're to do. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. I just relay a message. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Just relay the message. Preach the word. Second, a watchman tells what's revealed. Isaiah 21, verse 6. For thus has the Lord said to me, to Isaiah, go set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. So what does a watchman do? He relays a message. He tells what he sees. In the revelation of Jesus to the angel, to the churches, in Revelation 22, verse 18, it says, if anyone adds to these things, or if anyone takes away from the words of this book, you know, God will add to him the plagues, and he'll take away his part. Oh, I just need to tell what I see, what I read in God's word. That's the message. You know, I put in your notes, say, you know, sometimes, you know, we say, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm relaying a message. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, but I'm a watchman. That's my job. That's the definition of my task. What does a watchman do? Oh, he relays a message to others. And he only tells what he sees. Yeah. God's put a message into our hands. Again, that great commission of Jesus. When he says, I have the authority, and I'm what I want you to do. I want you to go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them what I've commanded you. You don't make up your own message. You just relay the message I've given to you. What a watchman does. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. We're just relaying a message. Number three, a characteristic of a watchman, he's sometimes derelict. He doesn't give a warning. Uh-oh. In Isaiah 56, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. Oh, no. Yeah, sometimes watchmen don't do their task. His watchmen are blind. They're like dumb dogs that cannot bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Uh-oh. And back to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 3, verse 18, if you give him no warning, oh no. Ezekiel 33, verse 8, if you don't speak to warn, got to give a warning. So we have a warning given to us. See, one of the parables that Jesus told, In Matthew 13, verse 25, the workers in the field, but he begins by saying, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away while they slept. If we're a watchman and we sleep, the enemy comes in and sows tares among the wheat. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, awake, you who sleep. Wake up. You know what the problem is with sleeping? When you sleep, you're insensible. You're not aware of any danger. You don't know what's going on around you. You don't know what's going on in your neighborhood. You don't know what's going on across town. You're sleeping. Christine sometimes in the morning will say, do you hear those ambulances go by? And I said, no, I was sleeping. Well, but they had sirens. Didn't matter to me. I was sleeping. I was not aware there was an ambulance in the neighborhood. I was sleeping. When you're sleeping, you're insecure. You can't protect yourself. Why do you think you lock your doors? Why do you put cameras outside? Why do you have a dog or two? Because when you're sleeping, you're insecure. You can't protect yourself. The danger of sleeping. Number three, when you're sleeping, you're not active. The task that needs to be done is no more completed in the morning than it was last night. You're inactive when you're sleeping. And number four, you're under an illusion. But when you're sleeping, you're thinking, yeah, everything's okay. Oh, I'm going to sleep. Everything's fine. I'll wake up in the morning and everything's fine. You're under an illusion when you're sleeping that all is well. So sometimes a watchman is derelict and he doesn't give any warning. So Isaiah said in Isaiah 56, verse 10, they're sleeping. The watchmen are sleeping. They're lying down. They're loving to slumber. Oh, no. I don't want that characteristic as a watchman. Number five. Or four, a watchman is not to be silent. You're a watchman. A watchman relays a message. A watchman tells what's revealed. You got to give a warning. But a watchman is not to be silent. Isaiah 62, verse 6. I've set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. You're a watchman. Don't keep silent. In Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're a watchman. Speak up. In Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus said, whosoever confesses me before men. Yeah, we have to speak out. I have to let others know on whose side I stand. I need to let others know to whom I belong. I'm a watchman. I'm a watchman. I can't keep quiet. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, therefore to others, he said, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I didn't stop warning. So Paul said in Romans 1, 16, that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed. It's the power of God into salvation. Ah, oh, preach it. And you will preach it. If not by public discourse, by your example. By your example. Number five, fifth characteristic of a watchman, he warns of impending danger. You know, warnings in life are not unusual. You go to a railroad crossing, if the train has to be, or the trolley happens to be coming right at that time, boy, lights, bells, and whistles. The bar drops down, danger, danger. Shouting out to you, danger, danger. You see on some bottles or products in big dark print warning. Watch out for this. Don't let this happen to you. Ah, yeah. Watchman warns of impending danger. So Ezekiel 3, verse 17, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give a warning from me. Oh, that's right. The last characteristic of a watchman, number six, A watchman often goes unheeded. Yeah. But I just need to give the message, don't I? Save my soul. In Jeremiah 6, verse 17, these are among the saddest words in the Bible. The book of Jeremiah 6, verse 17 says, I've set a watchman over you, saying, you know, Jeremiah said, I'm preaching to you. He says, I'm the watchman. I'm a watchman over you. He said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. I hope I don't ever have to preach to a congregation that doesn't listen. Or that doesn't want to hear. Wow. Can you imagine that? Being a preacher, and you have to preach to people that don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm just relaying a message. Preaching the gospel. I'm just the messenger, the watchman. Another sad words in John 6, verse 66. It says, from that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back, walked no more with him. And then Jesus says to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. If you leave the gospel, what message are you going to adhere to? The gospel is the words of eternal life. In Acts 26, verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Yeah. Sad. Watchman off many times goes unheeded. Apostle Paul delivers the right message. He's just delivering a message. He's preaching a gospel message to Agrippa and says, that's good, Paul. Almost persuaded. So sometimes the message goes unheeded. In Ephesians 4, verse 19, the last one I'll close with, Paul describes a group of people, says, who being past feeling, preach to a person or a group of people that are past feeling, your message isn't going to penetrate, or they're not going to take it to heart. They're past feeling. They're hard-hearted. The message won't get through. Being past feeling, they gave themselves over to lewdness. They work all uncleanness with greediness. And then Paul said, oh, but you haven't so learned Christ. Good news. But there'll be a group of people that'll be past feeling. But sometimes the watchman goes unheeded. Wow. There are six characteristics of a watchman. Paul had the right idea. Necessity is laid on me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me. So a watchman relays a message. That's all you have to do. I have to just tell what's revealed. Can't make anything up. Tell what's revealed. Sometimes I know a watchman won't give a warning. Oh, woe is me. Number four, a watchman is not to be silent. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Number five, a watchman just warns of impending danger. I want to tell you there's a side of eternity to avoid. Then number six, a watchman's warning often goes unheeded. And that's sad. That's sad. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And you're subject to that. Not obeyed that good news gospel message already, you had that opportunity this morning. We're going to sing what we call a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Give the warning. So you have this moment, this time right now to reflect upon your relationship with God. And if it's not okay, if it's not right with God, you have that. You can obey that good news gospel message by being baptized for remission of sins. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, to rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, then begin to grow in grace and knowledge and Christ likeness. If you're subject to that invitation, just let it be known. If that's your resolve, just share that desire at the close of this song. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has chosen for us. It's hymn number 922. 922.